This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله باب قول الله تعالى ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم توزن وقال مجاهد القسطاس العدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر وبسند متصل منا إلى الإمام الهمام قال حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمامة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
Alhamdulillah, today is a day in which the mirath of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being distributed. We all know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he said that al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. Wa inna al-ulama'a lam yuwarithu dinaran wala dirhaman wa innama warathu al-ilm. Faman akhadahu akhada bihafzin wafir. The students sitting in front of us are on the verge of receiving the mirath of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone dies, the lawyer calls the family together, and then the will is read. This is the will of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is being read, and your portions of it being handed to you. But on an occasion such as this, I feel there is something often missing within our Khatmi Bukhari jalsas. Your mirath is coming to you through a chain of narration. Often at the beginning of the year when the kitab is being taught, then we start with the entire chain of narration. It is the haq of all of those forefathers of ours who sit in the chain of narration that we mention their names and make dua for them on an occasion such as this. I remember my student days. They would say, Ustad would say, I studied this kitab under so-and-so. He studied it under so-and-so. He studied and to be reached awliyullah. And then everyone hears this. Or waha says sanad ma'roof wa mashhoorast. Everyone knows the sanad. No one knows the sanad. It's become so ma'roof, so mashhoor that no one knows it anymore. It's been forgotten. Because kathratul ihala. You know, it's in the kitab, it's in the kitab. It's not. And if you forget this side, this is a very important side. When Shah waliullah returned from Hijaz for the books of hadith, he wrote special book, number of books. He wrote special books, the thabat, in which he gives his asanid, pass it along to his students. Our great asatir, our great ulama, Mawlana Shaykhul Hind, Mawlana Sharid Hanwi, all of them had athbat in which they gave their asanid. It is the haq of all of those in the sanad that we record their asanid. So in this regard, our students here have read Bukhari, alhamdulillah, under teachers who are predominantly the students of our senior Mufti, Mufti Raza al-Haq, Hafizahullah. Firaza al-Haq has several asanid of Bukhari. And I want to mention three of them specifically here. Your asatid are the students of Firaza al-Haq. Firaza al-Haq has many asanid of Bukhari. But three of them I want to make special mention of here. One is the sanad that I share with Mufti Raza al-Haq from my Ustad Mawlana Nasir Ahmad Khan, Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Diyan Rahimahullah. That sanad Mawlana Nasir Ahmad Khan narrates from Mawlana Abdul Rahman Amrohwi, narrates from Mawlana Ahmad Hassan Amrohwi, narrates from Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, from Shah Abdul Aziz, from Shah Waliullah. That sanad is a very, very valuable sanad. And it's a sanad that from a different angle is very well known in South Africa, but also unknown. Our late, great Mawlana Muhammad Mawlana Qasim Sema was a student of Mawlana Abdul Rahman Amrohwi in Darbel for many years. Over 50 years, Mawlana Qasim Sema was teaching Bukhari with one of the highest asanid in the world. No one knew about it. A classmate of him was Mawlana Ahmad Ali Surti. The Arabs came to know about the height of his isnad. They called him to the Arab countries, and they called hundreds of people together to listen to his isnad. Mawlana Qasim Sema was giving free of charge to all of his students all of these years. I share that sanad with Mufti Raza al-Haq. That's up to Shah Waliullah. Second isnad of Mufti Raza al-Haq. Mufti Raza al-Haq also transmits Sahih al-Bukhari from his ustad Mawlana Amin Gul. He transmits him from Mawlana Nurul Hasan. Mawlana Nurul Hasan transmits him from a person that Madrasa Tafsir al-Quran should be well aware of, Qari Abdul Rahman Panipati. Qari Abdul Rahman Panipati from Shah Ishaq, and Shah Ishaq from Shah Abdul Aziz, from Shah Waliullah. This is Madrasa Tafsir al-Quran. Take specific note of this sanad here, because the same man that gave you Bukhari gave you your asanid of Qiraat as well. Qari Abdul Rahman Panipati. The third sanad of Mufti Raza al-Haq, which I mentioned for a reason. Mufti Raza also transmits Sahih al-Bukhari from his uncle, Mawlana Fazlur Rahim. Mawlana Fazlur Rahim transmits Bukhari from his ustad, Mawlana Nasiruddin Purgashtavi. Mawlana Nasiruddin transmits Bukhari from a person that we have forgotten. But for the sake of reviving his memory, I'm mentioning it here today. Students, take it down. The day will come when you reach the age of 60 and 70. Others will come to you from other parts of the world. Keep the sanad mahfuz. Don't forget it. Maulana Hussain Ali Punjabi. Maulana Hussain Ali Punjabi was a student of who? In those days, there was no Dora in Darul Uloom Deoband. Dars-e-Nizami didn't contain Dora. For that, you had to go to Madrasa Rahimi, Shah Waliullah's Madrasa. Afterwards, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gongi used to live in the Khanqa of Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi. Students would complete at Deoband and then they would come to him. One of them was Mawlana Hussain Ali Punjabi. A great muhaddith, a great sheikh of the Naqshbandi Tariq, and a great da'i to Tawheed. He transmits it from Mawlana Rashid Ahmad. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad transmits from Shah Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi, from Shah Ishaq, from Shah Abdul Aziz, from Shah Waliullah. And from Shah Waliullah, the isnad is as follows. Shah Waliullah narrates his kitab from Abu Tahir al-Kurdi, from his father Ibrahim ibn Hassan al-Kurdi, from his ustad Safiyuddin Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Qushashi, from his ustad Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Abdul Quddus al-Shinnabi, from his ustad Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Ramli, from his ustad Shaykh al-Islam Zakariya ibn Muhammad al-Ansari, from Hafiz ibn Hajar. Hafiz ibn Hajar transmits this kitab from his ustad Abu Ishaq Ibrahim ibn Ahmad al-Tanuhi, from Abu al-Abbas Ahmad ibn Abi Talib al-Hajjar, from Hussein ibn Mubarak al-Zabidi, from Abu al-Waq الأول ابن عيسى السجزي الهروي, from his أستاذ حسين ابن مبارك الزبيدي, from أبو الحسن عبد الرحمن ابن محمد ابن مظفر الداودي, from عبد الله ابن محمد ابن حمولي السرخسي, from محمد ابن يوسف الفربري, from إمام بخاري. And I know this is difficult, very few will remember it, so I'm going to give you another أستاذ which is much easier to remember, and I'll tell you how it's much easier to remember. One of my asanid in this kitab is that I transmit this kitab from Sheikh Muhammad Amin Siraj in Istanbul. Sheikh Muhammad Amin Siraj yarwihi an Sheikh Muhammad Zahid al-Kawthari, an Sheikh Muhammad Sadruddin al-Qadi, from Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Jubdar, from Sheikh Muhammad Amin ibn Umar ibn Abidin sahib al-Hashiyah, an Sheikh Muhammad ibn Shakir al-Aqad, an Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sijilmasi, an Sheikhihi محمد ابن محمد البديري, لا محمد بن عبد الله السجلماسي, عن محمد بن محمد البديري, عن محمد بن قاسم البقري, عن محمد ابن محمد ابن عبد الله الشعراوي الحجازي, عن محمد ابن محمد الدرجي, عن محمد ابن احمد الغيثي, عن محمد بن عبد الرحمن السخاوي, عن محمد ابن عبد الله ابن ظهير المخزومي عن محمد ابن محمد ابن فهد الصحابي عن محمد ابن محمد ابن فهد عن محمد ابن عبد الله المخزومي عن محمد ابن عبد الرحمن المكي عن محمد ابن محمد الطبري عن والده محمد ابن علي ابن إبراهيم الطبري عن محمد ابن علوان ابن مهاجر الموصلي عن محمد ابن علي بن ياسر الجياني عن محمد ابن عبد الله الفراوي عن محمد ابن عبيد الله الحفصي ومحمد ابن علي ابن حسين الخبازي عن محمد ابن مكي الكشميهني عن محمد ابن يوسف الفربري عن محمد ابن إسماعيل البخاري. What did you notice? Everyone's name in the Sunnah is Muhammad. So the easy way of transmitting this is that they say it 7 times, Muhammad. From Muhammad, from Muhammad, from Muhammad, your Islam is Muttasil. That's an easy way of transmitting the Islam, inshallah. Keep the Islam Muttasil. This is the sharaf that Rasul Allah Ta'ala gave the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other Ummah has this. No other Ummah has this. These are skills that we have forgotten. This demonstration is not here to, it's not a party trick. It is to encourage our students also preserve what Allah Ta'ala has given us. This is sharaf of the Sunnah. Having said all of that, we come now to the Kitab. Ibn Ali rahmatullah alayhi, at the end of Al-Jami al-Sahih, gives us Kitab al-Tawheed. In Kitab al-Tawheed, he is going to discuss the masail of Aqidah. In previous Aqwa, we discussed Taharan, Zakam, Salam, Sawm al-Hajj, and everything else that you have read already. But here in this last Kitab, he will discuss the masail of Aqidah. And in this last part, he's telling us, قَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The idea of deeds being weighed. The root of the idea of deeds being weighed comes from the Qur'an. Several ayat of the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of it. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ اَيْدِينِ الْحَقِّ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ. And here Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. As is the habit of Imam Bukhari, he doesn't just go on straight into the bab, straight into the hadith. He first gives you a tarjamatul bab. He says, the reason I'm giving you this kitab, focus for a moment upon the idea that deeds will be weighed. Second idea is that, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَنْ أَوْ تُوزَنْ. Deeds will be weighed in light of this ayah. He goes on, if you don't know some of the words that have been mentioned here, then there's one word which is of a non-Arabic origin, is the word qistas. And he tells you, Imam Mujahid ibn Jabr al-Makki says, Al-Qistas is a word that was imported into the Arabic language, wasn't originally part of the Arabic language, imported into the Arabic language, it comes from Rumiyya. If you ask someone today, what is Rumiyya, they'll probably say Latin, it is not Latin. The Rumiyya that the Arabs were in contact with was Greek of the Byzantine Empire. This word Qistas still exists in the Greek language. We know it as what? Kostas. K-O-S-T-A-S or C-O-S-T-A-S. It refers to something which, we have the word in English as well, constant. It's something which is constant. It is a scale that is always constant, that doesn't differ when you weigh things on it. That's the origin of the word Al-Qistas. Al-Adl Dar-Rumiyya. Wa yuqal Al-Qistu Masdar Al-Muqsid. Then Imam Bukhari teaches us, while he's teaching us a lesson in Hadith and Tafsir, he's teaching us a lesson in Sarf as well. Wal-Qistu Masdar Al-Muqsid. So someone, the first year student will say no. Iqsat is the Masdar of Muqsid. Qist is not the Masdar of Muqsid. Qist is the Masdar of Qasada. Yaqsid wa huwa Qasid. This is the Masdar ul Masdar. Before we come to the Abwab Mazida, the Abwab Mujarrada, that's where it comes from. So this word Qist is such that either you give it or you don't give it. If you give Qist, then you're a Muqsid. If you don't give Qist, then you're a Qasid. And the two meanings are opposite to one another. The one is a just person, the other one is the opposite. Wa amma al Qasid fa huwa al Jair. That is the Tarjamatul Baab. This is introductory information which Imam Bukhari is providing us. However, now we come to the purpose. Why is he giving us this Baab? Why is he giving us this Baab? For this, we need to take a step back for a moment. Take a step back, and there are some things in the biography, in the life history of Imam Bukhari that you need to understand if you understand what he is saying here. What is he saying? What Imam Bukhari is saying is something which, if you've been keeping note of the last few abwab that were coming, not just this one here, normally in our Bukhari jalsas we only do the last hadith, but turn back a few pages, turn back a few pages, and which bab will you see there? Babu qira'atil fajiri wal munafiqi wa aswatuhum wa tilawatuhum la yujabizu hanajirahum. Turn a little back from there and you'll find that babu qawli Allahi wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu bi qadar. Turn back a few pages And you'll say, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ. And as you go back, you will find that Imam Bukhari is driving at a point here. You want to understand that point? Let's stop for a moment. Imam Bukhari was born in the year, which year was he born? 194. By the time he reached about 50 years of age, he was probably the best known muhaddith of the time. But during his lifetime, something had happened. Something had taken place. You want to understand what had taken place? Let's go back all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tarakana ala al-mahajjati al-bayda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us on a road that wide open, it is clear, batil is batil, haqq is haqq. But as time would go on, division would set into the ummah. First of all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and drew a line between haqq and batil. There's Islam, and there's everything that's not Islam. Everything that's on outside. That's our first level of ikhtilaf. The second level of ikhtilaf unfortunately happened when the ummah started splitting between themselves. The Shia and the Khawarij came around at Nahrawan and after the killing of Sayyidina al-Husayn. So one group remained in the middle. Which group is that? Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. The Mu'tazila came along, the Jahmiyyah came along, the Murji'ah came along. Time doesn't allow for discussion in detail of each of those six sects and what they believe. But there came a time when one of these sects, named the Mu'tazila, had adopted certain beliefs for reasons which are beyond the scope of our discussion today. But one specific belief stood out. The belief that the Quran is the created word of Allah. Today, if we have to ask even ulama for this matter, this whole issue of Quran being created, uncreated, what was it all about? Why was it so important? This was a battle for the soul of Islam. What is Islam going to be like? Is Islam going to be that rational religion that throws aside revealed truth and sets standard only by reason, only by the aql? Or is it that religion, on the other hand, which only sets standard by revelation and doesn't use reason at all? Or will it blend the two? So the Mu'tazila had become dominant. They had gained the ears of the Khalifa of the time, Al-Ma'mun. On account of this, they set about an inquisition, the persecution of the ulama of the Ahlul Sunnah. What would they do? Would call up the ulama and ask them this question, is the Quran created or uncreated? It's a very obscure point today. As back then, it was the issue. It was the issue on which Islam could live or die. And the ulama were persecuted and threatened that if you give the wrong answer, you're going to go to jail, you will be lashed, you will be killed for that matter. Many of them had given in. On account of the threat, on account of the persecution, one man stood firm. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. May Allah reward Imam Ahmad for having stood firm at a time when everyone else was giving in. Everyone else was giving in. Imam Ahmad stood firm. The Quran is the uncreated word of Allah. It's the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's sifat are not created. Allah's sifat exists with Allah Ta'ala. From the year 218 till the year 232, this mihna, this inquisition lasted. Ahmad ibn Hanbal was lashed several times. He was put into jail. Eventually, two, three khalifas later, there came a new khalifa al-Mutawakkil. He took Imam Ahmad out of jail and he gave prominence back to the Ahlul Sunnah. However, when we have things in our favor after they have been against us and something happens, we become so apprehensive of what had gone wrong once upon a time that we now want to close all possible doors of going back towards that. So Imam Ahmad took the position that this mas'ala must not even be discussed at all. No one must ever raise this mas'ala of is the Quran created or not. However, the mas'ala had now developed in a new life of its own. Now it's no longer is the Quran created. Now it comes at the level of when I sit in Aid, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadraka Wadana Anka Wizrak. These words that are coming out of my mouth, is this created or is this uncreated? My words, not what Jibreel heard from Allah Ta'ala and brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not what's in Lawh Mahfuz. My words, when I'm reading, is this created or not? Imam Ahmad took the preventative approach. Don't even discuss it at all. Because of that preventative approach, people misunderstood and some of them started imagining that even the recited word, when I read Quran, that's uncreated. Even that's uncreated. Some went to the extent of saying, Al-Qalamu wal-Qirqas, uncreated. The paper on which the Quran is written, the pen with which you write it, the ink with all of that's uncreated, which goes against obvious reason. Someone created, someone cut the pen for me to read, someone made the paper, all of that's created. But this is how sometimes we overstep the bounds when we become overprotective and overpreventative. And this idea had spread. Everyone spread. A few people were aware of the mistake that is happening here. One of them being Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. But public opinion, this is now the Ahlul Sunnah. Remember, this is not the Mu'tazila. This is us, the Ahlul Sunnah, amongst ourselves. Some of our people, our great mashayikh, misunderstanding the masala. Imam Bukhari knows he has to make some islah. He has to correct it. And he knows that it will not be an easy task. He comes to the town of Nishapur. The ulama, the grandees, the notables of Nishapur come out several miles, hundreds of them come to receive this great muhaddith. Imam Bukhari is coming to town. They come out of town to receive him for as far as he's coming. Such honor do they give him. And the great muhaddith of Nishapur is Imam Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhli. Tells all his students, Bukhari has come, we're going to sit with him. He is my student as well, go and sit with him. As time would go, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhli's dars is running empty. No one is coming to him anymore. So now the fitna makers start coming about. They put up someone to ask Imam Bukhari, Ya Aba Abdullah, ماذا تقول في اللفظ بالقرآن? Imam Bukhari, what's your opinion if I read Quran? Now, the word had gotten around that this man, great muhaddith, but you know his aqidah is a bit haywire. He doesn't believe writing like our akabir believe. His aqidah is wrong. So ask him the question, then you'll find out he's a mubtadi. He's an innovator, his aqidah is wrong. So they ask him the question, Imam Bukhari recognizes the trap for what it is. He doesn't answer the question once. He doesn't answer the question twice. The third time he gives the answer, he says, Al-Qur'anu kalamullahi ghayru makhluq. Wa a'malu bani adama makhluqah. The Qur'an is not makhluq, but our deeds are created. Doesn't that remind you of a few babs that we saw just a few babs ago? A'malu bani adama makhluqah. And what did he say? Wa anna a'mala bani adama al-qawlahum tuzan. You can only be weighed if it's created in the first place. Our a'mal are created. The Qur'an doesn't go, the munafiq reads the Qur'an, it doesn't go below his throat. That which doesn't go below his throat is his voice, not the uncreated kalam of Allah Ta'ala. These final abwab, Imam Bukhari was emphasizing the point that your aqidah, you've misunderstood the point. The result of this is, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhri gets angry. And he tells everyone, this man is an innovator. He's a fasiq, he's a fajir. And he used a few other words. Drive him out of town, we don't want him in our town. A few weeks ago, a few months ago, years ago, Imam Bukhari came with the greatest of honors, welcomed him to the city. Now he's being driven out like a dog, literally like a dog. No one wants to be. Hundreds of the ulama came out to meet him. When he had to leave Nishapur on that day, no one was there, only two people walked out with him. The one was his student, Muslim ibn Hajjaj, author of Jami al-Sahih, the other one, Ahmad ibn Salam al-Nisaburi. No one wanted to have anything to do with him. Imam Bukhari goes back to his hometown. They send word to Bukhara. They said, drive this man out of town. His aqidah is not right. He's corrupting the aqidah of our people. Drive him out. Imam Bukhari is driven out of his own hometown. Today our students graduate on the words of Imam Bukhari. Yesterday Bukhari was driven out of his own hometown. He had to go to a little village called Khartalk, where no one could get him. There he sat and wrote his kitabs. And there he sat and also wrote another kitab called Khalqu Af'al al-Ibad, the last of his books, specifically written to correct the aqidah of the ummah on this point here. He didn't call anyone by bad names. He didn't condemn. He didn't curse. He wrote his kitab, may tawakkal, Allah will correct it. Look at where we are today. How many years have passed? 1200 years have passed. No one even remembers the name of Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhli, but a student will not graduate in our madrasas unless he has read Sahih of Imam Bukhari. At the time he was made up to be a heretic, but he made sabr. And he stuck to his guns. Haq is haq, and batil is batil, and a mistake is a mistake as well. When my ustad makes a mistake, Allah's deen comes first. What is correct is, stick to my guns. And today the whole ummah knows what is right in this regard. Because Imam Bukhari made sabr, he didn't crack under the pressure. He stuck to his guns, and Allah took him away from this world. But such was his acclaim today that his book is the highest kitab ba'da kitabillah. The highest book. His Ustad Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhri had written a wonderful book, Ahadith al-Zuhri. It's forgotten, no one even worries about it anymore. But everyone knows Sahih al-Bukhari. His student Imam Muslim ibn Hajjaj was from that town. From that very same town. Imam Muslim, when he heard his Ustad, this was his beloved Ustad Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhri, not talking about Bukhari now. The students have read Sharh al-Nukhba, Sharh al-Nukhba. You remember a line from Sharh al-Nukhba? What did they say? Lawla al-Bukhari, lama ja'a Muslim wala raha. Had there been no Bukhari, there would have been no Muslim. Imam Muslim knew what the value of this man was. So my one Ustad is speaking ill of my other Ustad, what do I do? So Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhri made the statement, he said, whoever goes to Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari after today mustn't come to my majlis. Everyone said, because they're afraid, the senior Ustad. One man stood up, young man Muslim ibn Hajjaj. I'm coming just now. He went home. All his ahadith which he narrated from this Ustad, he said, take your hadith, I don't want it. I will go with my Ustad Imam Bukhari. Allah raised him, he became Imam Muslim. Second greatest kitab after Imam Bukhari. Second greatest Imam Muslim. Only he and Ahmad ibn Salama accompanied Imam Bukhari as he walked out of this town. Crestfallen, hunted down, made out to be an heretic, no one wants to have anything to do with him. We learn several things. We learn several things from Imam Bukhari is telling us here. Number one, haq is not compromisable. When aqeedah, when there's a misunderstanding in aqeedah, someone needs to correct it. There will be mistakes. Crises will come. People will take positions. One will go this way, one will go that way. And sentiments will become inflamed. Statements will be made. People will say today what they will regret tomorrow. We are going through such a situation right now. What do we say? أمسك عليك لسانك. Don't say something today that you will regret tomorrow. فسوف ترى إذا انكشف الغبار أفرس تحت رجلك أم حمار. You will see once the dust has settled, were you riding a donkey or riding a horse? Imam Bukhari's horse is very, very clear for everyone to see. He was in haq, the other one was not. We don't say on batil, they were making a mistake. Today we know what is haq and what is batil. So while the crisis is at its height, do not get involved. Do not say things about this and that and the other. This Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhri was Imam Bukhari's own ustad. He had narrated hadith from him as well. Imagine how difficult it is for him to find his own ustad saying these things about him. What did he do? Did he stop narrating from him? No, you read his hadith. Imam Bukhari narrates hadith from that very same ustad in this kitab. But because it hurt his heart, what I said, he wouldn't mention his name completely. He would do what I told you to do with the sanad. He just says Muhammad. He doesn't say who. Sometimes you would say Muhammad ibn Khalid. Because he's Muhammad ibn Yahya ibn Ahmad ibn Khalid. So when his great grandfather. But he didn't abandon him. So my ustad. But you know, fin nafsi minu shay. So I won't abandon him. But I will just not mention exactly who he is. This was Bukhari, this was his ustad. Muslim was different. Muslim said, my one ustad spoke ill of my other ustad. I stand on the side of the ustad who's upon haq. And he differed, and he distanced himself from his ustad, Muhammad Yahya, though he lived in the same town. And we see how Allah Ta'ala has raised them to the heavens, and Allah, the others, no, they didn't go to Jahannam, no. It's just there was a temporary mistake. Things will blow over and haq will reassert itself. In the interim period, we do not get involved at the extent of where we say things that we will regret tomorrow. We do that, we apply sabr, and this is the aqibatu sabirin. Make sabr in a situation such as this. I have my point of view. My colleague has his point of view. I respect his, he respect mine. Then Allah gives barakah in the sunnah. But the moment we go overboard and we start bashing everyone else, you are on batil, that one is a kafir, that one is a this, and this one is a that. In that case, what happens? لا تنازعوا فتفشلوا. Do not dispute between yourselves, because then you won't go forward any longer. You will fail, you can't go forward. This ummah has a mission. It will not be able to achieve its mission. You will be delaying the outcome of that mission, the fulfillment of that mission, when you continue fighting between yourselves. Ikhtilaf at the level of Islam and other religions, no problem. We don't compromise there. Ikhtilaf between the Ahlul Sunnah and the other firaq in the ummah that are not part of the Ahlul Sunnah, we stand firmly on those. But ikhtilaf within the ranks of the Ahlul Sunnah, then we treat that with what? The same way as Imam Bukhari treated it here. We maintain respect. Although it's something that hurts, We maintain respect. But we stick to the haq. And in our last hadith, we will still make the same point. Our last hadith will say, حَدَّثَنَا أَحْمَدُ بْنِ إِشْكَابِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ فُضَيْلِ. This hadith Imam Bukhari repeats three times in the kitab. Once in Kitab al-Da'wat, he narrates from Qutaybah ibn Sa'id from Muhammad ibn Fudayl. There it is to tell you what is the fadila of Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, the fadila of Tasbih. The same hadith he repeats in Kitab al-Iman wal-Nudur. And there he mentions it, if a person says, Wallahi la atakallamu al-yawm. And then he made dhikr. So is his oath broken or not? Is dhikr kalam? Yes, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kalimatan. That point he drew there. And finally, he wanted to give us the last point to say that what? حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعقاع النبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The tertib of the matn of the hadith changes. Every other version, this hadith in Bukhari, the other two cases, and in Tirmidhi, and in all the other books, all of them start from what? كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان. ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان للرحمن. The one version of Ahmad ibn Ishkar, who Imam Bukhari met twice, once in Baghdad and once in Egypt in his travels. This one version changes the tartib. This one Imam Bukhari takes this version, it's riwayah bil ma'na of course. But he takes this version because the final word is ثقيلتان في الميزان. He wants to point at the fact that your deed, your Quran that you will recite together with all your other deeds will be a deed. It's created. Because it is created, it can be weighed. Allah will weigh it and it will weigh very, very heavily. Like your Quran that you will recite, like the swearing that you might be guilty of, like the lies, na'udhu billah, that some people are guilty of, all of this will be weighed one day. And anything that is weighable is created. And everything that's created cannot be the sifa of Allah Ta'ala. The sifa of Allah Ta'ala is something other than that. This is the purpose why Imam Bukhari put this final abwab here. His final book was written to emphasize this point. The final hadith were placed in this kitab and a final abwab to correct the aqeedah. And alhamdulillah, did the aqeedah bi ummah come right? The aqeedah came right. And the integrity of Imam Bukhari is at the highest level. No one can question that integrity anymore. We are going through a period like he went through a period. Imagine, on the one moment, you are the cause celebrity of the whole world. The whole town comes out, the qadis and the muftis and the muhaddith and everyone, several miles out of town to come and receive you. And upon one mas'ala, not several mas'ala, one mas'ala, Imam Bukhari's aqeedah and everything else you've seen in the kitab, everything else is correct. Because the one day, what was he? He was the greatest alim of his time, the greatest muhaddith. And one mas'ala made it such that everyone turned against him. Here we take care. You find a person that his entire life he served deen to the best of his ability. Then one mas'ala comes about in which he is not necessarily wrong, in which he holds an opinion different to yours. What happens in a case like that? Should he be condemned as a fasiq and some of the other terms that we see bandied about sometimes? Should ahadith and ayat be taken out of context and applied to him to say this is a kafir, this is a that, this is a that? Na'udhu billah. This is the ultimate lesson of this final abwab of Sahih al-Bukhari. The lesson of a man who suffered on account of one mas'ala. Our ummah has a tendency. We are like the amoeba. If you study biology in primary high school, you know what that amoeba does? It only knows one thing. It knows how to divide. It divides and then it subdivides. So two cells become four cells become 16, and also it continues dividing and dividing. It takes an effort of will to say that although I differ with my colleague, however, we do not divide on this mas'ala. We do not divide on mas'ala of this nature here. Imam Taqiyuddin Subki rahmatullahi alayhi wrote a poem for his son Tajuddin. And in that poem he gives it advice. He said, my son, you're becoming an alim, I want to pass that advice to you sitting here as well. وَإِذَا أَتَتْكَ مَقَالَةٌ قَدْ خَالَفَتْ نَصَّ الْكِتَابِ أَوِ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُسْنَدِ. If you hear the view of an alim coming to you, they say, you know, fulan alim said this, fulan alim said that. This goes against the Quran, this goes against the hadith. وَإِذَا أَتَتْكَ مَقَالَةٌ قَدْ خَالَفَتْ نَصَّ الْكِتَابِ أَوِ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُسْنَدِ فَقْفُ الْكِتَابَ وَلَا تَمِلْ عَنْهُ وَقِفْ مُتَأَدِّبًا مَعْ كُلِّ حَبْرٍ أَوْ حَدِيثٍ. Follow the Quran, follow the Sunnah. This is the haqiyah. But adopt full adab with every other alim. وَقِفْ مُتَأَدِّبًا مَعْ كُلِّ حَبْرٍ أَوْ حَدِيثٍ فَلُحُومُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ سُمَّتْ لِلْجُنَاتِ عَلَيْهِمُ فَاحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ وَبْعُدِي. The flesh of the ulama is poisoned against those that you speak against them. Guard your tongue and remember these words. Tabi your tongue, don't ever speak ill of an alim. Don't ever speak ill. Don't say today what you will regret tomorrow. Imam Bukhari didn't speak out against those that persecuted him so badly. Couldn't say in his own hometown. Allah raised him, and the others have been forgotten in history. The governor of Bukhara who drove him out of town, less than a month after Imam Bukhari's death, that governor was called to Baghdad, stripped of his rank and thrown into jail. The person who the governor sent to drive him out of town, Ibn Abil Warqa, the ulama say he was exposed to such humiliation that they don't even want to write what happened to him. Why does that happen? Because man ada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb. Open your mouth against the wali of Allah, Allah himself announces warfare against you. Allah announces. Bukhari was the wali of Allah Ta'ala. Those that went against him, this was the outcome. So remember these words. وَإِذَا أَتَتْكَ مَقَالَةٌ قَدْ خَالَفَتْ نَصَّ الْكِتَابِ أَوِ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُسْنَدِ فَقْفُ الْكِتَابَ وَلَا تَمِلْ عَنْهُ وَقِفْ مُتَأَدِّبًا مَعْ كُلِّ حَبْرٍ أَوْ حَدِيثٍ فَلُحُومُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ سُمَّتْ لِلْجُنَاةِ عَلَيْهِمْ فَاحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ وَضَعُوا دِينِ. I had made a note of some of the things that I want to speak about. And as it would be that when you come half an hour down the time, they say there's no time left. I told Mara to tell me 10 minutes before the time. Because they tell me that I always go over the limit. But it's like this, when you tell a housewife to speak about the kitchen, she speaks for 3 hours. This is the kitchen in which I've spent the last 20, 30 years of my life. So I tend to go a bit overboard. But in this regard, there's some advice that I want to give you from my own personal side. This aside now, alhamdulillah, the kitab and what it indicates, all of it in its place. There is one negative side effect of these Bukhari jalsas and graduation functions that we have. One unfortunate thing. What is it? After we finish the kitab, we do this. Close it, put it away. And we don't ever touch it again. Our Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Hassan Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that if you want to see kitabs in mint condition, then go to the Afrika Molvi's house. South African Molvi's. Because their kitabs, mint condition, they bought it before they left for studies, they pack it in the rack, they never touch it again. You don't... Yeah, the visitors come, they say, oh, all the kitabs, yeah, it's never touched. All that it gathers is dust. My Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Saeed Ahmad Palanpuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, gave me and my other students advice. That advice has stayed with me till this very present day. And I'm going to pass that advice to you now. In short, and in a bit of a longer tafsir fashion, he used to say that, jis din tumhe yahan se sanad mil jaye, when you receive your certificate from here today, to ye kabhi na samajhna ke main alim ban chuka hoon. Don't ever imagine that I'm now become an alim. You know, these people, you're going to go out there, they're all going to call you Mawlana. Where I studied, it was worse. I studied in Deoband, you're the first year student, everyone calls you Mawlana. So by finally I'll come to you, you're immune to it already. You know you're not a Mawlana, I just call you that. Don't be deceived. جس دن تم یہاں سے سند مل جائے تو یہ کبھی نہ سمجھنا کہ میں عالم I'm not an عالم بلکہ ابھی عالم بننے کے لیے تیار ہو گیا. Now you've become ready to start becoming an عالم. You might look at me and say, subhanallah, so what was 6 years all about? 6 years was just the beginning. Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم gave 23 years of his life so that you can receive it in 6 years. 6 years is not the end of it. My Ustad rahmatullah علیہ used to give this tafsir. He says, we read the last hadith now. I'm going to give you the tafsir of the first ayah of the Quran reveal. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Allah Ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's something very, very significant. The first ayah could have started Aminu. The first ayah could have started believe in the oneness of Allah. Or the Qiyamah is coming or something like that. No. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Muhammad, read. And he wasn't even a person. ما'ana بقارين. You read it, right? In the beginning of Bukhari. فقلت ما أنا بقارن فقال اقرأ فقلت ما أنا بقارن فغطني فضمني فغطني. And you read all of those hadith. So what was the purpose? It wasn't that he's supposed to take a book and read. No. It was the command to the ummah. That command was to the rest of the ummah. So you must read, and you read in the name of your Lord, your Rabb, who created. When Allah Ta'ala mentions any of his specific sifat, there's a significance. He created. And what aspect of creation? خلق الإنسان من علق. He created you from the drop of sperm that became a clot of blood, of congealed blood, then it developed from there. ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظام. Stage after stage. That's your first year and your second year and your third year. You can't come on day one and become an alim overnight. You have to develop stage by stage. لا تتزبر قبل أن تتحصرم. You must first become a grape before you can become a raisin. If you want to become a raisin before the time, you become rotten. You have to go stage by stage and become a raisin. Once you're a raisin, you can last 10,000 years now. But before that, you have to go stage by stage. So the child, Allah Ta'ala could create all of us like He created Adam, but He decided to create us خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَافٍ. You have to go from first year to second year. And when you came to the final year and you've read now كَلِمَتَانِ حَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى الْلِسَانِ, you think it's over. Allah Ta'ala says it's not over. اِقْرَأ. Next ayah again. It's not over. اِقْرَأ. Continue reading. Don't close your kitab. Continue. And now, you have to develop in stages. You will now see something. اِقْرَأ. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Your Rabb is most generous. He's going to give you ilm that you never had before. اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Where is that ilm going to come from? الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمُ. That pen, the collective pen of the ulama of the ummah that have left a legacy behind, that no other ummah has such an academic legacy ever. The entire legacy is open in front of you. The whole library of your madrasa is open in front of you. And today every PDF is available on the internet as well. When we were students, there were no PDFs. Once upon a time, I remember I had to travel from Deoband to Rampur, spend a week there to read a maktuta, to read a manuscript. Today, within 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, you download it, depending on the strength of your signal. You download it, it's in front of you. So Iqra, Allah Ta'ala is most beneficent. He will give you. You have to continue reading. Only in this way will you be able to serve the ummah in the hour of need. The amount of knowledge that you have gained up to now is the foundation you have to build a house to. Don't be like the person who was handed the keys to the treasures and he put it away. He says, you know what, we got lots of treasures, but I never open it. We got a house full of treasures. Ma inna mafatihahu latanu'u bil usbati ulil quwwa. And you tell him, so open the treasures and say, I'm busy right now, I don't have time. The haqq of ilm upon you is continue along this path. Do not stop. If you make that mistake of stopping now, you'll never reach where you're supposed to reach. You'll never be able to do it. So, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمْ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Now Allah will teach you what you don't know. But up to this point, you had to study with the guidance of your asatida. They are like the little wheels on the side of a child's bicycle. They need to make you balance. Your aqeel and everything must be correct. If you don't study under a ustad like that, and you just study on your own, you're going to go astray. And you take others astray with you. You've been under them for 6 years now. This day today, and this hadith which you've read, and the sanad which you'll be receiving in a few moments time, that is proof of the fact that you have what it takes to continue this journey on your own. Continue this journey and Allah Ta'ala will bless you. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is very well known for his encyclopedic memory, photographic memory. He came to Baghdad, they wanted to test him. They took 10 muhaddithin of Baghdad. They gave each one 10 hadith and they said, change the sanad around. And instead of saying A, B, C, D, say A, B, F, D. Something like that. So they're going to say, we heard so much about this guy, let's see if he really knows it. So they read the hadith to him. First person reads. So they're all looking at one another. Let's say if he catches up. Bukhari shows no sign. He says, continue reading. So he reads his 10 hadith. Now they think, now he's going to correct them. He says, no, second person, third person. And they're all giving that smile. You know that knowing smile? Ah, we thought he was someone. Al-an has al-haq. And he let them read up to the end. And then he went back to number one. Person number one, you read the hadith. You read it like this. But this is wrong. This is the proper reading of it. And he goes through 100 hadiths of that nature. You think that this is miraculous? My Ustad, Mawlana Ni'matullah Azami would say that there's nothing miraculous about this. Take a child that from the age of 5 years old, his entire life was haddathana and akhbarana. Take a child at the age of 11 years old, he corrected his Ustad. His Ustad was Allama Dakhili. Dakhili was writing a hadith. He's writing a hadith and he's saying, haddathana Sufyan, an Abi Zubayr, an Ibrahim. And this little kid of 11 sitting in front of him pipes up and says, Ustad, you're making a mistake. Imagine, you're the great alim in this youngster is telling you're making a mistake. He says, oh, what do you mean? So Ustad, you're making a mistake. How do you know? Okay, you're so sure about it, so what is the correct version? He says, it's Sufyan an Zubayr ibn Adi, not Abu Zubayr. Zubayr ibn Adi an Ibrahim. The Ustad says, are you sure? He says, Ustad, don't check in your kitab. Ustad goes into the house, he checks, he can't think, subhanAllah, the youngster is correct. Now, if you don't know how Isnad's work, don't think, mashallah, this is a miracle. It's not a miracle. I'll give you an easy way to understand it. Someone tells you, you know, one day I was in Peter Maritzburg, and all the ulama of Peter Maritzburg were sitting together. Who was there? Mufti Tahir Hansa was there, Qari Ismail Abdul Aziz was there. I think that's a few also from Maritzburg originally. Qari Ibn from Maritzburg, and Taha Karan was there as well. Then someone said, no. That fellow is from Cape Town, he doesn't belong here. He's not of the ulama of Maritzburg, he was just visiting. So like that, Imam Sufyan Thawri is from Kufa. Abu Zubayr Muhammad ibn Muslim is from Makkah. He is a student of Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Sufyan doesn't fit in. But the one who is between Sufyan, the ustad from whom Sufyan received the hadith of Ibrahim Nakhai, was Zubayr ibn Adi. This child was precocious enough to pick it up at that time. How did he do so? Right at the end, you know, the last few days when he was staying in Khartank, and he had a student of him, Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim. So his student, this was his secretary, used to write, keep his books and everything. So he asked him, Ustad, tell me, how did you get such a wonderful memory? You know, it's a madrabul matal, hifz like Bukhari, where do you get such a memory? Is it miraculous? What is it? You know, one night did you see a malaika in your dream and they blowed into your right ear and read something on your left ear and suddenly had a great memory? Imam Bukhari says, no. The secret of this great memory through which Allah is preserving this, the Torah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which you are receiving today, is two things only. Nahmatul rajul wa mudawamatul nadar. You must have a desire for ilm. Every man, even you want to see what's nahmatul rajul? Just take a man when he's waking up in the morning. What's the first thing that he reaches for? Cell phone. Before he sleeps, cell phone. Everything cell phone. They say that the vaccine is going to put microchips into us. Microchips, the phone is already with us. There are some people saying, I'd rather cut off my arm if the phone is in my arm, but if the microchip is in my arm, but I won't need my phone. The phone stays with more than anything. That's nahmatul rajul. You must love ilm like people love their cell phones. Never depart from it. And the second one is, you can't just have love for him. وَمُدَاوَمَةُ النَّظَرِ. Constant contact with it. Constant contact with it. With the kitab. You want those kitabs every day. Imam Bukhari was, after 50 years in the field, he was still sitting with his books every day. Then he tells his student the story. I think I'm coming very close to the end of my time. He tells his student the story. He says, you know what, I was young when I left Bukhara. 13, 14, 15 years when I left Bukhara. And my father used to send me money with travelers, and then my father would send letters, but I never had time to respond to my father's letters. One day I felt so ashamed of myself that I didn't reply to the letters. Father would write, and this auntie gives salam, and that auntie gives salam. So now he's responding to his father's letter. He says, my dear father, and please convey my salams to my auntie. And he couldn't remember the name of his auntie. And he knew the name of Sahaba and Tabi'een and their children and their students and how good they were, how bad they were, all their hadith. He knows all of that. He couldn't remember the name of his own auntie because he has no contact all the time. If you have contact with ilm, then ilm stays with you. Close the book today, never to open it again. Then what little you have received up to now, even that will leave you. So my advice to you is that develop within yourself nahmatul rajul, that love for ilm. And it will not be completed under the second hand claps along with it, and that is mudawamatun nadar. Select a field. You can't, I mean, there's how many fields? There's hadith, tafsir, there's qira'at, there's usul, there's aqidah, there's nahu, there's sarf. Select for yourself a field of your liking that you find yourself most comfortable with, and continue reading in that field and maintaining contact with the other ulama in that field as well. And 10-20 years from now, you will come back and tell me, you know, that advice you gave me, that once when we were having coronavirus, it stood me in very good stead. Alhamdulillah, I know so much more than I knew when I graduated. Take that piece of advice. هذه نصيحتي التي أوصيكها أكرم بها من زائر متوددي. Imam Subki told his son, هذه نصيحتي التي أوصيكها أكرم بها من والد متودد. This is my advice. I'm not your والد, but I am your زائر. أكرم بها من زائر متودد. Take this advice. May Allah Ta'ala give you the tawfiq and myself the tawfiq for whatever years I have left to devote it to ilm. Because as long as ilm remains mahfool, deen will remain mahfool. The moment ilm leaves, then deen will leave as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ النَّاسِ بَلْ يَقْبِضُ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَإِذَا ذَهَبُوا. What will happen then? Only juhal will remain, and we know what happens thereafter. سَأَلَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا عَنْ غَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. With that we come to the end of our خطبة البخاري إن شاء الله. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك فلك الحمد قبل الرضا ولك الحمد بعد الرضا ولك الحمد إذا رضيت عنا دائما أبدا يا مولانا يا رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصلي على آبائه وإخوانه من الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا يا مولانا يا رب العالمين اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما الحمد لله على كل حال نعوذ بالله من حال أهل النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصل اللهم وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.